My name is Jordan Mayer. Welcome back to the Your Smile Makes Flowers Bloom podcast. This season, I will be focusing on topics that are related to slowing down, wonder, awe, and noticing. I'm very excited for you to listen to our guest today. Her name is Brenda Haidt. Brenda is a teacher, daughter, sister, friend, dancer, and musician. She has been a primary teacher for 16 years, with most of that time spent in the grade 2 classroom. Brenda has also recently graduated from the Imaginative Education Program from Simon Fraser University. During this episode, Brenda and I talk about the importance of wonder for lifelong learning. Brenda also shares about different cognitive tools, which are meant to engage students and make learning memorable. One example of a cognitive tool is looking for the story of a certain topic and realizing that there is usually much more going on than originally meets the eye. Brenda and I also discuss if there are any downsides to wonder. Although I am a huge proponent of wonder, I thought it would be wise to critically examine this topic. I truly hope you enjoy this episode and come away with a greater understanding of wonder, awe, and the power of story. So Brenda, it's great to have you on the podcast today. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. I enjoy being here.
Thank you. So we've met through my wife and through church, and you've taken the same graduate program that I'm currently taking. And just wondering, for those who don't know about you, if you could share a little bit about yourself, such as maybe your work and some hobbies that you have.
Okay. I am a teacher, daughter, sister, friend, dancer, musician. I've been a primary teacher for 16 years, most of that in grade 2. And as Jordan said, I'm an imaginative educator. So I graduated with my master's in imaginative education from Simon Fraser 2 years ago. And in my spare time, I do swing dancing and I play on my church worship team. I enjoy doing photography, and I'm kind of known as our family historian, as I'm tracing back generations and things like that.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. As a photographer, this year must be a pretty wonderful time for you with all of the flowers blooming.
Yes. Yeah. I love going out and grabbing, you know, looking at different things and creating images and stuff. And yeah, it's lots of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful.
Lots of color, and that kind of ties in what I'm talking about later, what I thought of later as well. So
okay.
We can talk a bit more about that too.
Great. Yeah. So a big reason why I was hoping to have you on the podcast was to talk about this topic of wonder that is part of my action research project that I'm doing for my imaginative education project. So the first question I would like to ask you is, with your students, how do you like to encourage wonder with them?
I think it's really important to take time to slow down and really get to know what kind of things engage your students. So 1 year, it was the year that I did my action research, actually. That class was intrigued by stories. And I could tell a story, and then they would ask all kinds of deeper questions that normally you wouldn't get from grade 2 students, and really engaged in the stories and things like that, and we could go quite far, whereas my class this year is more about, well, just tell me the story and get to the end of it. So they're not a big discussion thing. They're much more into, like, games and challenges and things like that that get them going, like extremes. So like And imagine they call it the binary opposites.
Right.
So like the big and little, or going to the extreme, like the greatest who can battle against so-and-so and that kind of thing. They're much more engaged with that kind of thing, and they're not the story writers, I think, mm-hmm. as much as other classes have been. So it takes some time to get to know what really engages them. And unfortunately, this year I haven't been able to do that. What I've done in the past is I have a tea time with me. Mm-hmm. So at a recess time, they stay in, three of them stay in, and then I ask them all kinds of things about what do they enjoy. Do you like it when we do group activities? Do you like it when we sit at the carpet or outside, kind of things? And it gives me a chance for that, just in a small little group, to really understand what engages. And then I think that leads to their wonder. If it's something, if they feel engaged and enjoying what they're doing, then they, that sense of wonder comes up a little bit more.
Right.
In it.
Well, I think that's wonderful, just how much time, excuse me, you're willing to take with each individual student to get to know them on a very personal level. And I think that just shows what a dedicated and wonderful teacher that you are, and I'm sure they really appreciate that and have really grown from that.
Yeah, I originally did it as part of my research, the first time I had done the research part.
Great.
But then I realized, okay, this is something I'm going to keep doing, mm-hmm. just because I think I got so much more out of it apart from the research
yeah.
aspect of what I was trying to gather for that, and just knowing and making connections with the kids
right.
a lot closer than in class as a whole group, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, another benefit of that could be that interest may change throughout the year.
Yeah, as they mature a little bit,
yeah.
things change, and you can kind of build on what you know that they like and that kind of thing, and yes, they change.
Yeah.
You have a common base and understanding of where they are. It's much easier to move forward and inspire that sense of wonder as well, and just wanting to learn more things. Mm.
I agree. So Brenda, the next question I would like to ask you is, I was hoping you could share a story with us about a time that you experienced awe while you were in nature.
I think, like, every time I go out and just see God's creation and how things just fit together, just in awe how, like, the sun is timed at that time and the blossoms come out at the certain times before, like, the plant prepares before the blossom comes out, and just the intricacies of the leaves and all that kind of, I'm in awe when I'm taking, so often when I'm doing pictures, I try to capture some of that.
Right.
And it kind of, sort of like the story that nature tells
yeah.
is kind of where I see awe in the creation and things like that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I was outside with my students last week, and it was a really beautiful day. And I had read to them a story called Finding Wild. And after I read it to them, we were kind of on the hunt for kind of wild coming through in different ways. So, you know, some of that was looking for whether it was grass or flowers coming through the sidewalks. And we also were fortunate enough to have a flower garden at our school. And I think for me, the awe that happened that day was seeing the many different colors of flowers that we have in this flower garden.
Mm-hmm.
And that many of the flowers weren't just one solid color, but many of them had multiple colors in them. And I think I was really blown away by that, and the students were as well. And it was so much fun just to take some time to to stop and really look closely at something that we often just walk by.
And I was thinking too that sometimes we don't, it's easy to notice the hard things and the challenges
right.
that are happening, but we don't always take time to appreciate the positive things that are going on
yeah.
at the same time.
Yes.
And I think that's what helps to inspire wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of this in between my first and second year of the master's program. After the first year, it was so busy, new technology online, and so many theories and everything that you had to read, and endless papers and things to write. I traveled to the East Coast in the summer.
Right.
And one of the, as I could slow down a little bit and I traveled around, I could start to see stories everywhere.
Mm.
So one of the main, I think you had mentioned in the previous one about the cognitive tools and way that you make sense of things, I started to see them everywhere. And it was starting to be a little bit almost irritating because I could see them everywhere. I'm like, not everything is a story. Sometimes it's just a rock.
Right.
But I would start to think of just the stories of it. And I traveled to PEI and went to where Anna Green Gables was, and it was Ellaott Montgomery's story that engaged me, and how her life and that, and what actually shaped her to become the writer that she was, kind of thing. And so that was one thing. And then looking at the beach, at the rocks and the patterns and the cliffs and all that kind of thing, and that's really where everything was brought together from that whole busy year, and I got to kind of process all the stuff that we had done, and it was just a, kind of a sense of wonder and awe at how there's stories all around us, kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I think it's...
like my big aha moment of my master's.
Yeah, sometimes it's just kind of stepping away from it all and giving yourself time to really process it before it really sinks in at a deeper level. So the next question might surprise you, but I think part of the reason I want to ask it is, as I've been learning about action research and wanting to make sure that I do a good job with this project, I don't want to be biased in the questions that I'm asking. So I do believe that wonder is incredibly important for people of all ages to encourage lifelong learning. However, I'm wondering if you can think of maybe a negative side to wonder.
I think one negative part of it could be when it is, I don't want to say forced, but kind of almost manufactured, kind of, it kind of limits the inquisitiveness of it.
Right.
So when it's kind of, there's two, it can be limiting or it can be with no structure or intent with it as well. So it's kind of a double-edged thing, where it could be that, like in a classroom, you're telling them to think, I wonder about, and then what do you wonder about this topic? And it's kind of, they know they're looking for that question or a question specific. They wonder what, they're thinking about what you want them to say. And then also it can be that you have no direction with wonder. Does that make sense?
It does.
So you can have either end. It depends. More, I would say, like, in a school setting is where sometimes that wonder might be inhibited more, whereas out in, sometimes that leaves you with no direction if you have no grounding or anything in what you're looking at, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. The first guest that I had on the podcast for this season, I think what I really enjoyed about our conversation was that she talked about having structure, maybe during some of these lessons, that's really, really helpful for students. So, you know, instead of just saying, look at this tree, and then just having that completely wide open, it could be, you know, we're going to spend 3 or 4 minutes looking, and what are, you know, maybe 8 to 10 things that you notice about this. So it just kind of gives some parameters around that activity. And I think that that's really helpful for learners.
Yeah, I think especially if they haven't been asked to think in that way before.
Yeah.
And it gives them some kind of, they need experience, especially at a younger age. They haven't had an opportunity to think in that way before.
Right. Yeah, as I was thinking about this question, something that came to mind for me is, I think sometimes it's really a positive thing to just wonder. And I don't think there really needs to be, you know, something productive that comes out of that. However, sometimes I think that there can be, you know, a question or something that moves you, and then maybe a downside is that you may just walk away and do nothing with that. So, yeah, I've used this example, I think, in almost every talk that I've had, but there was this tree at our school that had a fungus in it, and I think that if the child would have said, I wonder, what is that growth in the tree, but never told me about it, I think that tree would, you know, would still be hurting from that fungus. So I think that's something that comes to mind for me, that now that you've had a wonder or posed a question, what are the next steps to maybe leading to healing or leading to maybe some answers? Yeah.
So where are you going to go with this?
Exactly.
I think of like wonder that has to do with a story kind of thing. So you start with like a question, and then what, where are you going to go with that?
Right.
And you find the answers to. That's what I think of wonder as a story. Like, what's the story about this tree with the fungus? What are we going to find out about it, kind of thing? And that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, Brenda, as our conversation is coming to a close, I was wondering if you would like to share a favorite quote with our listeners.
I do have one. I'm just pulling one up here.
Yeah.
My computer froze on me.
No problem.
It comes from Anne of Green Gables.
Okay.
And it's about imagination. It's such an interesting world. It wouldn't be half so interesting if we know all about everything, would it? There'd be no scope for imagination then, would there? That's from Ella Montgomery. I just find that that's such a good quote, talking about ties in wonder and awe. If we knew everything, life wouldn't be so interesting if we knew absolutely everything.
That's the truth. It is very exciting to, in a sense, to know that we will always be learning new things, that, you know, we're never going to know everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
for sure.
Well, Brenda, I wanted to just say thank you for taking some time to talk to me on this topic of wonder and awe and imagination, and thank you for the work that you do with your students.
Well, thank you for having me. It was great.
Big thank you to Brenda for being on the podcast today. You are a wonderful teacher, and I'm inspired by the dedication you show in getting to know each of your students on a personal level. Listeners, if you would like to learn more about the Imaginative Education Framework, I would encourage you to visit the Center for Imagination in Research, Culture, and Education website, which can be found at ierg.ca. That's all the time that we have for today. Thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned for upcoming episodes where we continue to discuss topics related to slowing down and finding ways to notice the wonderful world around us.